Hey, Mom. So I really wanted to connect with my daughter and help her grow closer to Jesus. But finding age-appropriate tools wasn't happening until I discovered the True Girl subscription box. Each box is packed with biblically-based tools like a mom and daughter date, devos written just for girls, and curated gifts and surprises. My daughter can't wait for each box to arrive. And hey, I found myself digging into God's word more as a result. Check it out at mytruegirl.com.
The all-new True Girl Crazy Hair Tour is coming. The Crazy Hair Tour is a one-night event for moms and tween daughters. You'll laugh, dance, play games, enjoy a fashion show, and hear solid biblical teaching on being totally crazy for Jesus. You and your daughter will learn how to care more about what God thinks than what the world thinks. True Girl's Crazy Hair Tour.
I am a true girl. Welcome to the True Girl Momcast, where we'll learn a lot, laugh a little, and have biblical conversation about raising daughters, because motherhood is hard. But guess what? You are not alone. I'm Shani McKenzie. So, how's your mom-daughter kindness challenge going? Just a reminder, it's not too late to take us up on that invitation from the last episode. In this episode of the True Girl Momcast, we want to give you more biblical insight on why kind words matter so much. Let's be real. Words can either build someone up or tear them down. And that starts right here at home. Today on the True Girl Momcast, Dan is breaking down the power of a gentle word and how it can completely shift the tone of your house and your relationship with your daughter. If your home could use a reset or you want to teach your girl how to use her words to speak life, this episode's for you. Let's get into it. Now, we originally recorded this message from Dana for a series on Revive Our Hearts titled, The Power, Wisdom, and Reward of a Gentle Word. I'll tell you where you can listen to the whole series after we hear from Dana. Let's dive in.
I want to contrast the beauty of life-giving words with something that's happening in our culture, and it troubles me greatly. To understand what I'm about to share with you, let's go back a few decades for a trip down memory lane. I want you to hear some slang from the decades. First stop, the 1950s, when the things teens were making cool sounded pretty life-giving, to be honest. Here are two teenagers talking in an actual video archive from that decade.
You sound like you need a helper. Could I lend a hand?
Would you? I mean, would you really?
Sure, I'd like it.
Isn't that sweet? It's so incredibly wholesome. Well, I'm afraid that's the end of the good news. Because at first, in-style language just kind of got silly. But slang ever so slowly lost its life-giving quality. At first, it just became, well, less helpful. Like in the 1980s, the era when I was a teenager, and we were remembered for being Valley Girls.
Like tubular.
Well, it's like a totally great day. It's like totally awesome.
Gag me with a spoon. It's totally, yeah.
After that, things unraveled pretty quickly. And today, I can't actually play a clip for you for what an in-style teen girl sounds like these days. It would be incredibly profane. To greet one another, many young women use filthy, body-shaming language in a tone of disdain or disapproval. And I'm not talking about when they're in conflict, but when they're in good standing with each other. To call one another dirty names, this, what's called cringe culture, is what's trending today. Now, I'm not saying that Christian girls are talking like that. Many Christian moms don't find that their daughters use profane language, but the girls do mimic the tone. And that's what I'm here to talk to you about today, because it may be better than the profane language coming from some teen and college-aged women, but our plumb line is not the world, is it? We're supposed to use God's word as our plumb line of truth to guide our behavior, and that includes the way we greet each other. We're in a series where we're learning the power of a gentle word. And what's in style among younger women today? Well, it's far from gentle. It's certainly not kind or soft. And the result is an unkind, harsh style of communication, and I see it bleeding over into family interactions. So I want to ask, if I could hang out in your house for a day, would the style of communication better reflect the unkind, harsh trend in our culture, or would it accurately reveal what God's word encourages, gentleness and softness flavored with wisdom? The way we talk, not just the things we say, it matters. And today we'll dig down deep to examine God's word in an effort to see if our own style of communication lines up with the truth of Scripture, or we might discover that it's cringeworthy. I want to invite you to grab your Bible if it's nearby and actually turn to Proverbs 15. We're going to get to the fun part of Proverbs 15, 1-4 today. Let's review what we've done so far. On our first day of study, we explored the power of a gentle word. Verse 1 reads, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." When we choose to have a self-controlled response in the face of conflict and frustration, it quiets the rage and angst in both our own heart and the person we're communicating with. Then yesterday, we learned about the wisdom of a gentle answer. Verse 2 reads, "The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly." Let me remind you, there's a space between the stimulus that frustrates us and our response. And what we choose in that space reveals whether we're wise or foolish. While those two things may have stepped on your toes and could have convicted you and been difficult to apply, I'm so glad you're still with me, because now we get to explore what I'm calling the reward of a gentle answer. There are actually two of them, and we find them in verses 3 and 4 of Proverbs chapter 15. Let's read verse 3 to see the first reward. "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good." This verse is basically saying God's eyes are everywhere. He's taking notes about what he sees, and he's watching over the ones he loves and who love him. But he's also recording the words of the wicked. Let's look at reward number one. God sees. He sees what we're doing. You know, that includes observing our interactions with others. He hears what we're saying. And he intends to reward what he sees accordingly, or in a way that's appropriate for what he sees. Now, a reward is a thing given in accordance with one's service, effort, or achievement. And we think of it as a good thing usually, right? It can also be a bad thing. The fact that God rewards us based on what he sees us do, based on what he hears us say, that's either really good news for you, a reward in the best sense of the word, or could be bad news, which could mean a punishment or some discipline is in order. Either way, it'll be deserved. Either way, you'll reap what you sow. Let's look at the bad reward first. I'm a girl who prefers to rip the bad news off fast, like a Band-Aid. Now, in the context of this passage, contrasting soft, gentle words to harsh ones, we can assume that if the style of your communication is largely unkind, reactive, and hurtful, then you should have some fear when you think about the fact that God is watching. Ecclesiastes 12:14 reads, "For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil." That should strike terror into your heart, into my heart, if the way we're speaking to our husband, our children, if those things are harsh and ugly as a general pattern. God's word says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good." Let me ask, would you want me to see how you speak to your husband? Would you want me to hear how you talk to your children behind closed doors where no one else sees, where it's in secret? Well, God does see. And his word indicates that he will respond protectively for your sweet child and even for your husband if what you're doing and saying is harsh and unkind. God sees. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. He sees how you are reacting. He sees how you're speaking. That should fill your heart with great comfort. It's good news if you're speaking softly, gently, and responding with wisdom rather than reacting in haste. Reward number one, God is watching, and he will be your constant support if he finds a blameless heart out of which springs soft, gentle words marked by wisdom. There's a second reward tucked here in Proverbs 15 in verse 4, and it's this: God will use your words. Proverbs 15:4 reads, "A gentle tongue is a tree of life." That's the good news. But before we get to that, there's also a potential negative consequence We see that in the last part of verse 4, we're warned that perverse words break the spirit. To paraphrase the whole verse, when you speak gentle, healing words, it's like offering someone you know and love fruit from a tree that's full of life. But the word used here is perverse. Perverse language does nothing but crush and break and destroy hearts. Again, let's go ahead and get the bad news in this verse out of the way. Perverseness breaks the spirit. The Hebrew word for perverseness in this verse refers to falsehood, perversion of truth, a distortion of truth, and maybe even viciousness. Now, do you remember how I told you that the style of communication, the slang that's popular today, is to use perverse, unwholesome words, twisted, untruthful words to greet one another? Just recently, I overheard two tween girls, and this is how they greeted one another. "Hello, you're so dumb. I know you're so dumb too." And they said this, not to be mean, but to greet each other. God's word has something to say about that. It says, those are perverse words. Don't do it. Don't speak those kinds of words. Every woman is an image bearer. Every woman is a masterpiece created by him. To speak otherwise, it's nothing more than a terrible lie, a perversion of truth. Let me remind you, your words have power. Just as a gentle word can turn away wrath, perverse words, words that are twisted and untrue, those kinds of words, they can turn on pain. Let me tell you about cringe culture. I cringe when I hear a Christian teen girl blurt out an ugly word when she greets a friend or her mom. I've seen that too. And I cringe when I see a college-age girl post that kind of greeting on her social media platform. She's planting pain, whether she knows it or not. She's planting pain into her friends, into her family, into her world. And you know, I don't even understand it. In a culture where women march with posters that demand to be treated with respect and dignity and equality, how is it that no one is saying, hey, if we want men to use respectful language with us, maybe we should use respectful words with each other. Maybe we should not use harsh, ugly words towards each other. It's double-minded. It's destructive. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Listen, my friend, God's holiness leaves no room for the harsh, vitriolic, vicious words that so easily pop right out of us. And consider this. While it is true God will use your words if you let him, it seems also true that Satan will use them too if you let him. Just as Proverbs 15 promises, perverse words break the spirit. But there's a good reward here in verse 4. A gentle tongue is a tree of life. I want to be a woman, and I want you to be a woman who chooses gentle words tempered by wisdom so that God can be the one to make use of them. And as I look at this phrase, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, I ask myself two questions. What kind of words does God use, and how does he use them? What kind of words does he use? Well, a gentle tongue is a tree of life. The ESV version uses the word gentle again here in this verse. Also, if you recall, it used it in verse 1. But several of the commentaries I referenced said a better translation here in verse 4 might have been healing. The words used suggested there was a curative or healing power in our tongue. There, once again, is the power of a gentle word. A healing tongue is a tree of life. It's healing. It's a medicine. It's quite the opposite of perverse words. Now, how does God use our words? Well, they'll be like a tree of life. Gentle, soft words tempered by wisdom are wholesome. And that, according to God's word, is life-giving. You know, Jesus actually said something like this when he walked the earth. It's recorded in John 6:63. Let me read that to you. "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." Jesus said, "The words I have spoken to you are life." Words have power. We must use them with wisdom. And the reward of using them well is that we cooperate with Christ and we bring life as he did. Now, if at this point all of this is feeling like too much, it's so hard, a lot of work, lean into John 6:63 a little bit with me. It is the Spirit who gives life. Not me, not you, not our mouths, the Spirit. And let's not forget that gentleness and self-control, they're both fruit of what? Of our white-knuckling to have better words? No. Gentleness and self-control are the fruit of God's Spirit. Rest easy, my friend. If this seems hard, if being gentle seems difficult, it should be, because we need God's Spirit to help us. Do you remember that space between what frustrates us, the stimuli, and our response? Use it. Make it a tool to turn you to God in prayer. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you with gentleness, with self-control, so that your words can bring life and your mouth becomes a tree of life from which you pass out healing.
Oh, I like that. Use the space between what frustrates you as a mom and your response to call out to God's Spirit for help, finding kind and gentle words. That was my co-host, Dana Gresh. You can hear the entire series originally brought to you by Revive Our Hearts. The link's in our show notes. We hope that takes your mom-daughter kindness challenge to the next level this month. Join us again in 2 weeks when we'll talk about diligence. This month, we're inviting you to join your girl in a mom-daughter kindness challenge, and the True Girl March subscription box has everything you need to make it happen. Your sweet girl will get daily devos just for her, plus a mom-daughter date plan to kick off the challenge. She'll love the honey lollipop and bee-themed lip gloss as sweet reminders to keep her words kind. And the Be Kind poster offers 30 days of creative ways to practice kindness. With every act, she can add a daisy sticker to watch kindness bloom. We've also crafted the True Girl Kindness cards for writing notes of encouragement and included a sparkly bee charm to remind her that kindness isn't just for this month. It's for life. Don't wait. This box is packed with fun, faith, and tools to spread kindness like never before. Subscribe today at mytruegirl.com.